You want to read the lesson on her too? Mm-hmm.
The text for this evening is taken from Jeremiah 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. And they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. This is our text. So last week we listened to Isaiah singing to the remnant, God's church, in the midst of a group of people who were going astray, walking in ways that were not good. Isaiah watching them walk away from the gospel, not from the law, but from the gospel. For when you walk away from God's word, ultimately you're walking away from the gospel. Those people who continued to walk in faith were the remnant. And they were promised to remain even as things around them were degenerating. God reminded them that in the midst of the time when things were falling apart, his word, his song, would be available to them. Listen to me, he says to them twice. Listen and then look. But tonight we're 120 years or more later, and things are not going well. God in Jeremiah 15 made clear that he was to tell the people that they would be swept away. They would be swept away by the sword, wild animals. They would go into exile. There was a hard message for them. Imagine having to say that to people. I don't think people really recognize that. They try to find reasons not to say the clear word to people, thinking that somehow they'll accomplish God's work without God's word. God told Jeremiah there was to be no intercession, no prayers for this people. God made clear that the matter was settled. Imagine hearing that. The matter was settled. And because of that, Jeremiah had difficult words to bring to this people, words of law, of judgment. Not because he liked to preach the law. I don't really know too many preachers who like to preach the law unless they begin to connect it up with the idea of love and that third use of the law. But they don't like to preach about the law and judgment because it's not pleasant. It's difficult. People don't like to hear it. Jeremiah had difficult words to bring to this people because they were stubborn and refused to repent. And that's why preachers have to bring the law to their flock, because they are stubborn at times and refuse to repent. And as a society degenerates, it gets worse. Things that should never even have to be talked about become the matter of sermons and Bible studies. When the people refuse to repent, when they reject God's word of law, that's the only word they will hear. So after that, and as that was going on, Jeremiah, faithfully speaking God's word, he endured persecution. And so in this section from Jeremiah, the prophet reveals his struggles to remain faithful amidst the fire and the hatred. He cries out for God and lays out before him the depth of his pain, sorrow, and yes, doubt and unbelief. And God answers. God calls him, "Repent, dear prophet, and you shall be as my mouth." We like to think that once a person's kind of set on their path, they'll never vary, they'll never veer. Although, for this Sunday, we have one of the biggest poster children of a person who says, "I'll never deny you. You are the Christ." And within a few verses, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." How does that happen? "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter." "Get behind me, Satan." How does that happen to human beings? Well, it's because this is a hard world. Because the devil plays for keeps. And even God's prophets, even God's apostles, even God's pastors struggle. It seemed to Jeremiah that all his preaching did was upset people, especially those powerful enough to persecute him. "Lord, you know," he says. "You know. You understand. Your eyes are on me." So often we struggle wondering if God has forgotten about us, does not seem to care about us anymore, doesn't seem to remember us or visit us, doesn't seem to give us strength to endure the difficulties that we face. We like to think that we are over our heads. But God said to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 that he will not give you anything more than you are able to bear. And with the struggle, with the trial, he'll provide a way out. Jeremiah cries out, "Lord, you know the circumstance. Deal with those who fight against you and therefore who fight against me." He asks the Lord to deal out vengeance. That doesn't sound like a very nice thing, but it is. Not that we would want someone to be the object of God's vengeance, but it's better for a person to fall into the hands of God, because there can be repentance and forgiveness and mercy. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, and so we let God decide who shall receive vengeance and what time that will take place. We stand and we suffer and we wonder whether the happy ending is going to come. We watch tons of things on TV, read many books, all of these different things, and we're waiting for the happy ending. The good guy wins. We stand and suffer and wonder where it is. When would there be relief from the battles and the pain? There should be some, somewhere. Luther said in his treatise on baptism in 1519 that ease of life is poison for a Christian. God allows us to endure crosses and trials so that we're ready to leave. We're ready to go home. Paul says, I've suffered for, or not Paul, but Jeremiah says, I've suffered for the sake of your mission to this rebellious people. Lord, you know, deal with those. I've gone through this trouble. I'm getting tired of it. Jeremiah then says, I did find and I did eat the word of God. This sounds a little like someone who heard the words of Isaiah 51 from last week. Listen to me, listen to me. I did listen to you, and I ate the words, and they were my delight, the rejoicing of my heart. Isn't that an interesting thing? He says, they were the rejoicing of my heart. But what is it like when you live in a neighborhood where people don't rejoice in the gospel? When it becomes just you. That's what Jeremiah says. When the people mock and scorn and despise God's word and his preaching. This is the rejoicing of my heart. Imagine what he's saying there. This is at the heart of my life. Why? Because I, a sinner, have heard about salvation, about rescue, that this will not be what I'll have to endure for eternity or even for very long here. Your promises, your words, the coming of the Messiah is the rejoicing of my heart. And for that reason, I didn't sit in among the evil, among the mockers. It's a funny thing what happens to you, the world. When the world gets worse, you can either make friends with the world, or as Jeremiah said, I sat alone because you filled me with indignation. Imagine that. How does that work? Filled me with indignation. Why would God do that to someone? Because he loves the neighbors, the mockers, and the evil people that Jeremiah was observing. He loved them enough to keep this prophet, this persecuted, burdened prophet in the midst of a people who despised and didn't want to hear his word. You filled me with indignation. What does that mean? Well, he had to preach the law. And it never feels good. It never feels good to preach it. It never feels good to hear it. It always accuses. I sat alone because you filled me with indignation. The prophet was called to preach and proclaim, yet the words seemed to accomplish little. Who is he angry with? Well, our battle is not against flesh and blood. He knew that false teaching lived among his people. And there were lots of people who said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There were lots of people who really didn't care about the teaching of the Lord, the word of God. They just cared about their comfort, their ease of life. The word that brought joy and rejoicing could not be spoken. How dark is that ministry when people are so arrogant and impenitent that they refuse to repent of sins, obvious sins. They're stubborn and impenitent. I couldn't sit among them. I had to sit alone. Well, that reminds us of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know, Lord, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I sat alone because your hand was heavy upon me. I can't sit with those people. It's like sitting with an alien, someone who doesn't understand what is my joy and my rejoicing, the gospel. Whatever he does shall prosper. What a beautiful statement. But Jeremiah is struggling with that. The ungodly are not so, are like chaff which the wind drives away. I sat alone because your hand. The words needed to be preached, but I see nothing but hardness and anger and rejection. This people has lost the gospel, all but the remnant. Yet the word did not seem to overcome Jeremiah's pain and sorrow. I ate the word. It brought rejoicing and joy. But then I'm sitting in the midst of the mockers. I'm sitting in the midst of these people who don't care about God's word, who don't love the Lord, who is the one who is coming in the flesh to save us. How can people not love Jesus? That's a really interesting thought. The one who went to the cross, paid our debts, saved us from ourselves. Meh. Yet the word didn't seem to overcome Jeremiah's pain and sorrow at this time. He started to doubt deep down. Verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream as waters that fail? He's asking God that question. He's crying out because this ministry is hard. It's a burden that no man can bear in his own strength. My pain perpetual. He looks around and he sees family and friends despising the word, not wanting to hear it. And he, the one who rejoices in the word, who has in his heart the love of God that shed abroad throughout the Christian world, throughout the saints, he has a love for those people, but they're not turning. My pain is incurable, perpetual, because the people will not be healed. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets and kill those who are sent to you. Jeremiah began to understand the grief of the man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. He understood the man who Isaiah sung about in Isaiah 53. God, will you be to me like an unreliable stream, like as waters that fail? Jeremiah is confessing that the burden of his calling is heavy and he's doubting the whole thing. Waters that fail. What am I doing here? What good am I doing? What good can I possibly be in this situation? I see nothing and all I do is feel pain. How many pastors go through this very thing? How many prophets? Paul, we heard him in Romans, say in Romans 9, I wish I could be accursed for my brothers. But he knows that a human being can't give, cannot ransom the soul of another man. Rather, only God in the flesh can do it. Paul says, I wish I could be cursed for them. Over and over again, you see this in the scriptures. The more you get into the work of the church, the more difficult it is in some ways. And so God spoke. Wow. God spoke. Here Jeremiah is confessing that he is wondering if God has become unreliable, a failing stream. And so God spoke to him. He confessed his doubt, his need. Nothing new about that. Everybody goes through it, but especially pastors and prophets and apostles. They all went through this. And so God spoke, calling Jeremiah to repentance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will bring you back. Lovely talk. We could spend an hour on that text and how those verbs and stuff work. If you return, I'll bring you back. Repent, I'll bring you back. You've wandered away, Jeremiah. You've become overwhelmed by your feelings and what you see. And you shall stand before me. What a lovely place to stand before the Lord, who searches us and sees if there is any wickedness in us. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. I love that text. So therefore, we go out into the world and we do not start counting nickels and noses. We do not worry about whether or not the whole group of people is coming. We look for those people who want to hear the word of Christ. The word about a righteousness that comes from outside of us. You take out the precious from the vial. You shall be as my mouth. You preach my word faithfully, not doubting that I will save. Not because you're Jeremiah or any other personality, but because my word will not go out without accomplishing that for which I sent it. And I send it out so that men, women, and children would be saved. You shall be as my mouth. Jesus will say that to his disciples in Luke chapter 10. You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, he says. But you must not return to them. You are not to go running after them into the pigsty and say, isn't this great? God loves pigsties. He loves sinners. He does love sinners in this way, that his son was forsaken, hanging on a cross, bruised and shattered and crushed for us. He loves sinners that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Let them return to you. But you must not return to them. You, in this last days of the riots and the pandemic, must stand and confess the faith, even if it doesn't seem that many people care. Then he says these beautiful words, and I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. The call to repentance is in order for this prophet. If you return, I'll bring you back. That is God's promise of grace to those who are weary of battle and whose flesh begins to get in the way of their mission. The words are interesting and beautiful. Do not compromise. Do not give up. Do not chase after people thinking that human beings know better how to accomplish God's mission. Peter this Sunday has that problem. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking the things of man and not the things of God. Don't compromise. Don't give up, but rather extract the precious from the vial. Your mission is still serving my purposes, whether you can see the results or not. My word will not go out accomplishing that for which I intended it. You shall be as my mouth. Don't turn to them and think the things of man, but preach to them the things of God. My word, pure and simple. God's mission will continue, and the fight will continue, for sinners will not return and repent, especially during this difficult and dark history of Israel. I will fortify you, and they shall not prevail against you. What does that mean? God sees Jeremiah's need, his doubt, his struggle, his flesh rearing up, just like our flesh does. Every human being struggles with their old sinful nature until they're home in heaven. And God says, I will fortify you. I will protect you. Through my word and spirit, I will enable you to walk in the midst of this fallen world. See, isn't it interesting when we live in a really difficult circumstance and situation, when we live there, we wonder how we're going to bear it. When we confess that we don't know how we're going to bear it, and we're awfully tempted to just wonder if God has forgotten, if he's got anything for us, God comes back and he says, repent, and I will fortify you. I'll feed you richly. I'll bless you today and forever. They will not have the power to overcome your work. Think about what that means. That is, a church in the midst of the end times, we are called to faithfully confess the word, not worrying about how people respond to it, but listening and looking for those who want grace and mercy and forgiveness. My word will accomplish what I intend. Do not fear you're wasting your time. I am not playing with you, Jeremiah. I love you. I will save you and deliver you. Your soul, your life is precious to me. My son is coming to save you. And while you are in the midst of a hard battle, my word will sustain you. It will fix your eyes on the promise of my love in Christ, the one who will come to save, the Lord our righteousness. It's fascinating as we close this sermon that three times, Jeremiah chapter 23, 33, and 51, he uses the same phrase. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. In those days, Judah will be saved, chapter 33, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. The Lord, our righteousness. We will stand forever with that title, with that name. We will stand before God in heaven, righteous and holy because of what Jesus did, even in spite of the fact that there were times when we felt overwhelmed and wanted to throw up our hands. Precious word to the prophet who struggled and wept and lamented over this people. Fix your heart and your mind, Jeremiah, on my word and my promise of the coming Messiah. Don't look around and measure God's promises by what you see. You shall be my mouth. I will speak through you. And my church, my faithful flock, will be fed, strengthened, and fortified. Don't doubt. Go forward, fortified in my strength. And trust that in all of this, you are doing my will. Amen.